Okay, so little by little, God is changing us. Let us read together our scripture for today from 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12 to 18. This is in your sermon notes, and we also have it on the PowerPoint. There we go. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Spirit that changes us from one degree of glory to the next. I pray that this morning, Lord, that this passage would be opened to us by your Spirit. I pray that you would change us. I pray that you would transform us, that we would even in this day be changed a little bit more and more into your image. And I pray now that you would help me to help all of us in the understanding of this passage. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know that God has a plan for your life? Do you know what that plan is? Some of you might say, yes, I know what the plan is. It's a house in West Van. It's a spouse that is beautiful, supportive, kind, passionate, and caring. It's a plan with three kids. All three go to UBC. The one becomes a doctor. The one becomes a lawyer. And one becomes an engineer. And I say, well, what questions do you have? Well, my only question is, when is this going to happen? Well, for some of us, we have other questions. We ask, God, where do you want me to live? What kind of work do you want me to do? What do you want me to study? Who do you want me to marry? How many children are we supposed to have? These are the kind of questions that some of us have when we think about the plan that God has for us. Well, don't worry anymore, because I'm here today to tell you what God's plan is for you and how it's going to happen. His plan is much bigger than those questions. His plan is much more ambitious than living in West Van with three successful kids. And his plan is much more glorious than any of these things that we can think about. His plan is to make us like Jesus. Not to start from scratch and to create us like Jesus, but to start where we are and to change us little by little until we look and sound and act like Jesus. This, what I'm talking about, this plan is a radical makeover. The Apostle Paul uses the word for this transformation. Actually, to be honest, the Apostle Paul did not know English. So the word that he was using wasn't transformation, it was metamorpho, from which we get the word metamorphosis. One of the most striking examples of metamorphosis is when a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. There you have it. From the egg, the caterpillar is born. The caterpillar changes to a chrysalis, and from the chrysalis to a butterfly. That's what Paul is talking about. Transformation, metamorphosis. And it's amazing, because who would think that this crawling caterpillar can turn into this beautiful flying butterfly? This passage today is about this transformation, and especially verse 18. And I want to turn to that. In verse 18, he says, "We all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Now, what does Paul mean when he talks about with unveiled face? Well, he just alluded to that, because before he gets to verse 18, he was explaining that for the Jewish people, whenever the law is read, there's a veil that covers their faces. The veil covers their face so they can't see. And when they can't see, they can't understand. And he says the veil covers their hearts, so their hearts cannot change. In chapter 4, verse 1 to 6, Paul writes this about the unbelievers. He says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." So for the Jewish people, the law put a veil over their faces so they couldn't see Christ. And it's, Paul says here, for those unbelievers who are not Jewish, the evil one comes. And what he does is he blinds the minds of unbelievers so they don't see. So whether you are Jewish or whether you are Gentile, your mind is blinded. You have a veil, so you cannot see Christ. But when you can see Christ, when this veil is lifted, that is when real transformation will start in your life. In the Christian life, this is the very first movement. There are two major movements in the Christian life. The first one is when we are born again. Sometimes people would say, they would ask you a question, "Are you saved? Are you born again?" And what they mean is, have you been born from the Spirit? Yes, we know that you've been born physically, but have you been born by the Spirit of God? Because God is Spirit. And for us to be in relationship with God, we need to be Spirit. We need to be born of the Spirit. That's the very first movement in the Christian life. The second movement in the Christian life, once you've been born again, once you've been born of the Spirit, the second movement is for us to become holy. Because God is holy. And we need to be holy if we are to be His people in relationship with Him. If we are to be His sons and daughters, we have to be holy. And so the second movement of the Christian life is this progression towards holiness. This transformation that takes place, that makes us more and more like Jesus Christ. But everything starts when the veil is taken away, when we see, when we understand. This is something that God does in us. You know, sometimes we can read the scriptures and we can think about the things of God, but we just don't see. We just don't get it. But when that veil is taken away, it is like our understanding opens. We read again and we see, oh, how did I miss this? How did I not see this before? Because it's so clear to me now. Because my understanding has been opened. Paul says that this is the God who said, let light shine out of darkness. He's the one who makes his light shine in our hearts. The one who spoke and said, let light come, is the one that speaks to us and says, let light come in your heart. Let the veil be taken away so you can see clearly. And as you see Jesus Christ, your heart will be changed because you will understand. With unveiled face, we look at Jesus Christ so we can see him clearly. And then when we look at Jesus, the word that's being used is beholding. Very interesting word. It's only used once in all of Scripture, and this is the only place it's used. It's not the same as the normal beholding. When he talks about someone who beholds, this is not the same word he's using. This word here means I'm looking, but I'm looking as if in a mirror. I'm looking in a mirror. And as I'm looking in the mirror, I can see clearly because the mirror is showing very clearly the object that I'm looking at. I know many of us would like it if our mirrors wouldn't show us clearly. Especially as we get a bit older, we look in the mirror and we don't like exactly what we see, but we have to take it because the mirror doesn't lie. It shows us exactly what is there. So when we behold as if in a mirror, when we're looking at Jesus Christ, we are going to see him exactly as he is. We're going to see him clearly. As we behold him, then we will be changed. Looking at Christ as if I'm looking in a mirror. When I look in the mirror, I actually see myself. So how do I look at Christ as when I look inside the mirror? Well, when I look to the mirror, I'm going to see myself in the future. I'm going to see myself as I'm going to be. I'm going to see Christ. Even though I'm looking in the mirror, I'm seeing Christ because Christ is who God wants me to be like and what he's going to make me like. That is the promise that God gives. Pastor John Piper from America said, the Spirit is not working this transformation in us without reference to Christ. Not while we watch endless hours of empty, trifling TV. Not while we dribble our hours away aimlessly surfing the net. Not while we set our minds on things that ignore Christ. No. The Spirit moves and works and frees in a very definite atmosphere. Namely, where we are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord Jesus. If you want to change, if you want God to transform you, then what you need to do is to behold, to stop, and to look at Jesus. To keep on looking at Jesus. To always bring in focus Jesus. And as we look at Jesus, as we behold him, we are changed. When we go about our lives not looking at Jesus, not thinking about Jesus, I'm afraid we will not be changed. But when we take the time to sit down, as Mary did, sitting at the feet of Jesus and looking at him and beholding him, that is when we are changed. Now you may say, well, you know what, when I do that, I'm not actually doing any work. I mean, we all know that to get somewhere or to be something. We have to work. We have to do something. And this seems so easy. Beholding. It seems too easy. I don't know if I can believe that. I actually want to do something hard. I want to do something that's going to actually change me, more like maybe a self-help program or something like that, along those lines. But the way that God has set this up is not that we are going to achieve something. The way He has set it up is that He is going to do something in our lives. What we need to do is to behold. What we need to do is to allow Him to change us. And as we behold, we see the glory of the Lord. We see the glory of Jesus. Now, glory is a word that is difficult to describe. We all know what it is. It means beauty. It means wonder. It means awe. And if we look at Jesus, we see that in Him. But there's some things that we see in Him that it just seems to be so beautiful. When we look at Him, there's a couple of things for me that stand out. I'm just going to name about six of those. First of all, His humility. Jesus is the one who laid aside His glory in heaven to come to earth to be born as a human being. To be born as an illegitimate child in a very poor family. In Scripture, we see that Joseph and Mary go to the temple and they offer pigeons, doves. That's only the poor people that would bring that. The wealthier people could bring a goat or a lamb or something bigger, but the very poor people could just bring pigeons, just doves. He's being born as a human being into a poor family. That's the humility of Christ. We see Him as full of truth, speaking the truth to Pilate. When Pilate said, "What is truth?" He says, "I am the truth." He speaks to the crowds. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And everything He says has this ring of truth about it, speaking with authority. We look at Christ and we see His courage. When He stands up to the Jewish authorities, when He stands up to the Roman authorities, when He does battle with powers in the air, with authorities, with spiritual powers, He does battle with them, defeats them. We see His courage. We see His kindness. When He says, "Let the children come to Me. Don't push them away. Let them come to Me." We see His kindness when He talks to the woman who was caught in adultery. And He looks at her and He says, "Where are your accusers?" And He says to her, "Neither do I condemn you." We look at His compassion. When He's crying with Mary and Martha about Lazarus who has died. When He looks at the crowds and He feeds them because He has compassion on them. And we look at the love that He has. No one has loved like Jesus has loved. He said the greatest love is this, is laying down your life for your friends. Not only did He do that, but He's also sharing His love to others, even on the cross. Looking at those who are crucifying Him and asking God to forgive them. He says, because they don't know what they're doing. The love that He shows even to Judas, one of His disciples who's been with Him. The one who's going to betray Him. The one who's going to hand Him over to be crucified. He shows love unconditional love. We look at that and we say, this is glorious. This is beautiful. This is what I want to be like. And in this passage, Paul is saying to us, you look at that glory, you behold that glory, and God will transform you into that. We are being transformed. This is a passive verb, being transformed. This is something that God is doing to us. And for me, this is great news, because if this was up to me, if I am supposed to get myself to that place where I become more like Jesus, I would never get there. But this is something that God is doing. As we behold, we are the ones who are being transformed. The work of God in our lives. Transformation is something that is radical. It is like the caterpillar that becomes the butterfly. There is a radical difference. And between the way I am and the way that Jesus Christ is, I can see a radical difference. If I look at myself and I see my selfishness, and I see my lack of love and lack of compassion and lack of kindness and lack of goodness and lack of self-control and lack of all these things, but I look at Jesus and I see it in Him and I see how glorious He is. And then I say, yes, Lord, I want to be like that. Can you transform me? Can you change me to become like Him? And God said, yes, that is my plan. That is the plan I have for you. And when you say that and when you pray that, you are working with me in this plan that I have for you. Being transformed, being changed. The word transformed is only used 4 times in the scriptures. Twice it's used about the transfiguration, where Jesus is on the mountain with Elijah and with Moses, and where God's glory is on them. That's where that word is used twice over there for the transfiguration. Then it's used for Romans 12:2, where Paul says we should be transformed by the renewal of our minds. And this is the 4th one right here. This transformation is like Jesus becoming glorious. But we are being transformed, we are being changed into the same image, into the image of Christ. Christ. In Colossians says, Paul writes this, he says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So when we look at the image of Christ, we're looking at God through Christ. We see the image of Christ, and behind Him is God. He's the image of God. If we have seen Christ, we have seen the Father. We ourselves were made in the image of God. In Genesis 1, he says, so God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. So in a way, when we look at Christ and we are transformed into Christ, it's in a way we are becoming what we've lost. As humanity, we have lost our way. We were made in the image of God, but we've lost our way. That image has been marred. That image is not the way it's supposed to be, not the way it was made in the beginning. But that image will be restored as we are changed to become more and more like Jesus Christ. Paul writes this to Romans. He says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. The purpose of God, the plan of God for me and for you, is for us to become like His Son Jesus. So he will become the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. Into the same image, we will be transformed. From one degree of glory to another. This is not an overnight transformation. This is not a 5-minute transformation. This is not instantaneous. Just add milk and stir. No. This is from one degree of glory to another. There is a progress. But this progress happens in degrees. This progress happens over time. If I put it on a graph, it'll look something like this. The degrees of glory on the one axis and time on the other axis. And this is kind of a little bit weird how it came out there. But it takes us to become like Jesus Christ. So as you can see, over time, we are changed from one degree of glory to the next so that we can become like Jesus. Now your graph might not look like that. And mine might not look like that. That is a pretty straight line. Our lives might be a bit of a zigzag. Our lives might look a little bit different. But that's a general direction. That's the direction of transformation. That is God's commitment to you and me. The first movement is when we see Christ. The first movement is when the veil is lifted, when we are born again, we become born of the Spirit. The second movement is now when God is transforming us, when He is making us like Jesus. He is sanctifying us, making us holy, changing us from one degree of glory to the next. These are the two major movements. Now, while this is happening, you might say, I despair. I don't see anything happening in my life. I feel like I keep making the same mistakes. I feel like I haven't really changed that much. But you know what? Keep calm. Because God's not done with you yet. God is not done with you yet. That transformation has not been finished. And that transformation is going to take more time. But this is God's promise to us. And this is what Paul was writing here. He's saying, since we have such a hope, he says, we are very bold. Because our hope is that we are going to look like Jesus when God is done with us. But right now, He is not done with us yet. And we need to keep that in mind sometimes when we look at our children, because we want our children to be perfect. But like this boy says, he says, don't worry, Dad. God isn't finished with me yet. Many times I feel like that little boy. I know I'm not perfect. I know there's lots to do in my life. But I know this. I know that God is at work in my life. I know that through the ups and the downs, I know that through the highs and the lows, God is at work. And if I look back 10 years from where I was and where I am now, I can really see a difference. And I hope that when you do the same, I hope that you can see the difference too. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Before, there was the law and there was the veil. But the law was passing away. And there was a new covenant coming, a better covenant, a more glorious covenant, one that was not going to pass away, one that will be forever. And that is the covenant of the Spirit. The law is done, the Spirit has come. And the Spirit can do what the law could not do. The Spirit can change us, change our hearts, change our minds, transform us, make us like Jesus. Because this is God's plan. And the way He's going to do it is through His Spirit. That word beholding, I want to come back to that because it has another meaning. It means that I look into the mirror as I'm looking at Jesus Christ. And in a sense, I'm seeing myself in the future. But it also means I'm reflecting from the mirror. I'm reflecting as a mirror. So that beholding works two ways. It's as I'm looking at the mirror and as I'm reflecting from the mirror. Two ways. And I want to just come back to that second way now, where it says that we are reflecting as a mirror. Because it is now as God is looking at us that He's going to see His reflection in us. It is as we come together as a body of Christ, as we come together as the people of God, that we can see God's reflection in each other. Have you noticed? Have you looked around you? Have you seen the reflection of God in your brothers and sisters? Have you seen some of His kindness? Some of His compassion? Some of His courage? Some of the love, the unconditional love? Some of the grace, some of the mercy? Have you seen that? God is given this to us so that we can minister to each other. So as the people of God, we can come together as people who are being transformed. We haven't arrived yet, but are on the way, because keep calm, God is not finished with us yet. As I'm thinking about this mirror, I came across this piece written about two ladies who went to a silversmith, because the mirrors in the days of Paul, of course, were silver and bronze. They didn't have the kind of mirrors we have today. So you would have a piece of pure silver who would be polished and will be pure, and that will give you a good reflection, an accurate reflection in the mirror. So these two ladies were studying the book of Malachi, and as they were reading chapter 3, they came across verse 3, which says that where it says that in the Bible that God will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. This verse intrigued the women, and they wondered what this statement meant about the character and the nature of God. One of the women offered to look into the process of refining silver and get back to the group at their next Bible study. That week, she contacted a silversmith, and she made an appointment to meet with him and to watch him at work. She did not mention anything about the reason for her interest in the silver beyond her curiosity about the process of refining silver. As she watched the silversmith, he held a piece of silver over the fire and he let it heat up. He explained that in refining silver, one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire where the flames were the hottest, so to burn away all the impurities. The woman thought about God holding us in such a way over the fire. Then she thought again about the verse, He sits as a refiner and purifier of silver. She asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time that the silver was being refined. The man answered yes. He had not only had to sit there holding the silver, but he also had to keep his eyes on the silver for the entire time it was in the fire. If the silver was left even a moment too long in the flames, it would be destroyed. The woman was silent for a moment. Then she asked the silversmith, How do you know when the silver is fully refined? He smiled at her and he answered, Oh, that's easy. When I see my image in it. Let us pray together. Father God, it is our prayer that you would see your image in us, that we would reflect your glory as Jesus reflected your glory, that we would be your image as Jesus was your image, that we would be the image of Jesus as he was the image of the Father. Oh Lord God, would you come and change us? Would you do a radical makeover in our lives? Would you help us, Lord, to sit and to behold the glory of Jesus Christ? To ponder, to think, to keep looking at Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And Lord God, as we do that, I pray that you would be true to your word, and you would change us from one degree of glory to the next, so we would become exactly the image of your Son. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would not stop the work that you're doing in our lives until you have fully completed this great plan of yours. Lord Jesus, I pray that as we leave this morning, that we would have hope in our hearts, that we will be strengthened because we know what you have in mind for us. We know the plan that you have for us, and we know that you are busy with that plan. It will take time, but it will happen. I pray, Lord Jesus, that even this afternoon as we go to the AMM, that we would recognize even the people speaking and or praying, or even as we eat together before the time, we recognize in our brothers and sisters around us how you are transforming us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.